This is the Walk Tall Open Office Q&A on October 5th. I would love to hear what questions you have.
The first question I have is a pretty easy one because I'm still trying to understand the difference or how to use both Google Calendar and iCalendar together. Because what I'm doing now is, I know this is going to get into some of next week's topics, but I would say like 90% of the time I use my calendar just on my phone. That's where I enter most of my appointments is on my phone. That's where I get my appointment notifications is on my phone, things like that. And I know I want to use an interface. The only frustration I have with iCal is the appointments that I set on my phone and the changes I make on my phone, for some reason, are not syncing back to my computer. And I'm wondering if I introduce Google Calendar, they don't update back to my computer. And so I'm wondering with Google Calendar, if I'm making changes on my iCal, will those go into Google Calendar or absolutely not?
My understanding is yes. And so, okay, so there's a couple of things at play. One, there are the different versions of stuff that sometimes get in the way. And then the other aspect is it just might not be set up in the best way. So what I'll tell you what my configuration is. And it does work. So the things that I add on my phone are those changes do come over to my calendar, my iCal. And if I add something into Google Cal, that is also then pushed to my laptop and my iPhone.
Okay.
So no matter where I enter or edit an event, the change is made in all three places automatically.
Okay.
So let's see. So let's break it down. So Google Cal, there's no version issue. In the phone, I am on bold, but I'm looking to see if I can find out what operating system I'm on. I think I'm on 6, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm on. I know I just got notification about iOS 7 came out and
I'm always slow to upload those because I don't like rocking the boat.
Exactly. It's like such a learning curve.
I know, right? Yeah, that too. And then just possible issues. And because the newer operating systems are more designed to work on the faster phones, and like I said, I'm on a 3GS. And okay, so I'm on iOS 6.1.3. Okay. And then on my, okay, so the screen is going to get ugly here for a sec. I'm on Mac OS 10.8. And so the calendar is going to be native to that. So this is probably what I did. In iCal, preferences, accounts, and then in the column there, hit the plus system, plus thing, and then for account type, Google, and then entered in my info.
Great. That's what I did on my phone to sync it, and I don't think I've done that on my computer.
So give that a shot and see what happens.
Great. Okay. What does that mean, refresh calendars on push?
It means that it sends the updates to your phone automatically. You don't have to manually say sync.
Okay,
great. It pushes the info to you.
So I'm excited to get things synced and then to see in our next class, make sure that I'm using the calendar the way I should be using it because I don't know if this is the most effective I don't know if this is the most effective place for me to be putting all my energy right now, because the one thing that you said in class was, to look at your own patterns and then figure out solutions to those patterns. And my worst patterns are with the papers on the loose, which doesn't relate a whole lot to the calendar. So, but the calendar was an easy thing for me to just do kind of quickly. So,
right. Well, what are your concerns around the calendar as far as are you using it to the best of its ability?
I guess I don't have a whole lot of things that I have to schedule, like specific appointments. Mm-hmm. It's more that I need to block out time for different client work, So when I'm doing work with a different client, and I thought, like with doing some work with you and you use Google Calendar, it sounded like Google Calendar was a good way to go, because then I'd be able to share events easily with you, and then I'll be able to have that on my own calendar and block out my own studio time and set up some of my other client time. So I feel like I don't pull my calendar up on my computer all that much. It's mostly just a little notification thing that I use on my phone. But I'm starting to use calendar stuff more because I'm looking more at those time containers that you talk about to make sure I'm really thinking that way. And I hadn't thought of using the calendar really for that. So, mostly the calendar has my running group and any doctor's appointments, things like that, but I'm trying to use it more for the time containers. What?
Because your time was more flexible and they weren't, you were kind of planning out your day just based on, they weren't specific scheduled appointments that you had.
Right.
Is that,
and I'm actually... Yeah, there's that, and I think I'm trying to change my mindset, too, because when I wasn't using a calendar, I was much more responsive in my workflow of, like, putting out fires or what needs to be done. I would just do it, and now I'm trying to define at least large blocks of, like, okay, this is my studio time, this is my zapping email time, or this is my QuickBooks time, just where it's larger chunks of time or something. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're right. We will talk more about that, both in the energy management and in this next week on the action system.
Okay. Great.
Let's see, what was my other thought on that? So I guess one thing that I've been seeing in working on the content for next week is seeing how this is sort of unfolding as a whole system. Which I mean, it is what it's been, but I'm seeing clearly more how it's kind of unfolding and unrolling. So if this first week, this info parking spots, is primarily about your foundation and the tools that you are using to get your base, kind of like to get Basecamp dialed in, then getting your calendars synced up and working and knowing you having the peace of mind that you can enter something in, on your phone, and that's going to show up on your laptop and all that different stuff. Like that's great.
Right.
For this first session and for this first week, that's great, period. And then we'll build on it. Now that you've got your calendar situation set, it's working, you can trust it, and that everything's going to show up where you need it to show up. Then we'll start adding on to that with the next module.
Okay. That sounds good. That's what I was thinking, was just if I could get all this thinking working, then I'll figure out how to use it in a future class.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right.
Okay.
What other questions do you have?
Okay, the other questions that I have, let's see, I have them written out here. I do have some questions about the idea of list making that are based around a topic. So one thing that came up in the class when you had a scenario about a business client and how she created an email archive or draft that she could cut and paste information into. And one of the bits of information she was pasting in was a reference to an article. So she had a list of her articles that she could, you know, put in the most appropriate one. And I don't have articles, but I do have blog posts. And I have a lot of blog posts, and I'm trying to decide or to wrap my brain around, because then there's the issue of priority, but I'm trying to decide if I should create my own archive of blog posts that are based around a specific situation. So I could easily fight down the desire to want to archive everything, but if I look at them grouped, like I do get questions a lot of times about artists who are just going to start doing shows. And I've written a lot of blog posts as an artist who did shows about different tips. So, I mean, do you have a sense of that? Like, should I be building, you know, to create a list like that? You know, or how do you decide list make? You know, I know it sounds so weird, but.
Collect info. Well, okay, so you've got a couple of different issues there, it seems to me. One is the actual list of subjects and what should that contain. You've got the where is that going to be. And then you talked about, in essence, indexing your archive.
Right. Okay, great. Yeah.
Similar to this, and I'm just going to kind of put it out there so that people listening to this can think of this in other terms as well, if say they don't have a blog, but they have, say, a huge mass of files and folders on their hard drive that are all kind of mixed up, and they want to go forth with an organized system. Do they have to go back and organize everything that's already there? And so I'll address that after, but I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that this has other ramifications. So tell me this, for people who have done shows, what are, knowing what kind of things that they ask you, what are the top three tips that you would want to pass their way that you've written about?
It would be like the actual supplies that you need for doing the show, packing a car, and what is the this is up your alley. It's like understanding the mental stamina of what you're getting ready to embark on and whether or not it's right for you. So whether, if you're thinking that shows are only options, there are other options, and before jumping into shows, which take a huge toll on you, that you should do that evaluation first. So there's very practical things, and then there's a little bit of that deeper, like, okay, what type of person are you? And are shows the best way for you to be showing your artwork? So, yeah.
Right. Awesome. Okay, super. So that, yeah, that gives me another idea. So one, say you've got 50 blog posts that you've written about that could be indexed. One way mm-hmm. to approach it would be to say, okay, which are the top 3 or 5 that I think that I've been wanting to send to people? Either I actually do, or I know that I wrote it and I would want to have that available so that I can send it to people, and locate those 3 or 5. So you're not looking at 3 or 5. And with okay. those, you can set up your system of where to put those. Mm-hmm. And then in the future, if you start getting a number of requests for a certain something else and you know you've written about that, then take the time to go find that and pull it into your system. So now you have it captured.
Okay.
So as you go forth, you're creating your own index of files that you've been using, or blog posts that you've been referring to people, and they're the active ones, they're the ones that you do give to people, and let it build that way, and so that you're not taking a huge amount of time indexing a lot of stuff, but you're pulling the ones that are most relevant.
Great, because that helps a lot with the prioritizing. Yeah.
Right. And you just told me what the three most requested ones probably would be.
Yeah.
So then that said, so then you have some objects. So there's your subjects from here on out. So then it's the from here on out. So then when you, not even going into the past, but in the future, as you write a blog post that would be relevant to this subject, or is one that you're like, whoa, I know this is going to be an evergreen. I know that I'm going to want to refer to this in the future. You add that in now when you create it.
Okay.
It becomes part of your flow. Then as far as where that is put, so let's look at that, because you just told me a series of 3 that is for the same demographic, and it's for the same, mm-hmm. you know, artist doing shows. So either you could have an example that I had used was parking a link to each of those in Evernote.
Okay.
But what I would do if I were you is create a page or a post, either one, called something like Advice for Artists Doing Shows, Advice for Artists New to the Show Circuit. And then you only keep one link, right? And you say what you just told me, like, here are my most common questions and blah, blah, blah. I've got 3 posts to start you on your way with this, and you link to 1. Here are the supplies that you need. Link to number 2. Here's how you pack your car. Link to number 3. This is really important. Know what you're getting yourself into with the mental stamina. And then you can add to that. And you're basically creating a little bit of a guide. And what you're actually doing, Kathy, is like creating a mini e-course right there.
Right.
And if you were out in the online world, say, in some forum somewhere, and you see people talking about that, like, oh, what do I need? Or like, oh, geez, I like haven't been able to fit everything in my car or whatever. You can say, hey, I have a little primer, and it's one link, and you've just given them all that information, and, hopefully they'll hook in with you.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. Right. So that was one thing I did want to clarify for the where was, and this sort of leads into another question, so it's okay if you need to return to this topic. Is the Evernote versus other note-taking software? Because I haven't watched the Evernote videos yet or looked it up any further. So it's just a larger open-ended question, I think, you know. Because I do have some other lists stuff I do, and it is through a program on my phone. I think I could pull them up on my computer, but I don't really use it that way right now because it's stuff that I type in. It's usually like groceries, gift ideas, like little things that pop into my head. But these larger lists that are powerful resources, you know, or larger brainstorms too, because sometimes I'll brainstorm a whole bunch on paper, but I need that to live somewhere where it feels still alive. Like I want to access it and actually get back to that information. I don't know where to store that stuff. And so that does, and that's a lot of my papers on the loose. You know, and so that might be an Evernote, you know, that might be an Evernote thing. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and there are other options. There are other list-taking and note-taking applications. I haven't used them. So whatever you've already got for that, you know, could be fine. So some of the criteria are that you can access them on your phone and on your laptop because it's the stuff on the laptop is just easier to use. I know that in general, they say that the desktop computer is on its way out, but it's still a lot easier to use than on the phone. And as far as like grabbing links, like say you have an email from, you know, this artist person, whatever, and they're like, hey, I'm wondering about this, and you want to send them the link to your advice for artists new to the show circuit link, how easy is it to go get that link on your phone to put it in there, or if it's image-based and that kind of thing. So one, I would love for it to be able to get images, URLs, and be easy to pull those into your email or just be easy to access and open up in preview or a PDF viewer. So another option that I didn't mention, because this is a little bit more of a hack in that direction, is mind mapping program that would actually be simpler in the sense of you could have one mind map instead of like an Evernote where it's still very kind of list oriented, where you've got these folders, boom, 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 and then within the folders you've got these different things. So in a mind mapping software, you could have like my ideas or research, you know, something that's like more like an area rather than a specific subject and branch off of that. Mm-hmm. And the mind mapping software that I use is online based, and you can attach URLs, you can attach attachments, you can put in text and that kind of thing. And so it would be a different function than what you've been using your list one for, as far as like groceries or books to read or movies to check out and that kind of thing.
Right.
So one way to go would be to divide up the types of information that you find that you are wanting to keep tabs on and use different programs based on that. So if it is more of a list function sort of thing, like a checklist, keep using the one that you've been using. And, you know, I guess ideal laptop, but maybe not if you're just totally used to doing it on the phone. If that is totally working for you, then don't change it. Personally, I like working off a laptop because it's easier, and I really, really dislike hunting. Like, I haven't gotten into the thumbing, and I don't like the hunting and pecking kind of programming. So then that's where making a list. I realized that I didn't talk about that handout from last week of the info parking spot. So let's talk about that. Have you made a list of the types of information that you are wanting to keep tabs of?
You know, I have sort of jotted a list. I got kind of hung up on a couple big things that I do not have information parking spots for. So I decided to think about the areas that I particularly need help because I have some of your systems in place and I want to implement them more fully. So the big categories for me are client notes from various meetings, and those, I mean, they take on so many forms, you know, because there is some stuff that I can call my notes very easily for to-do items, but then there will be those things that are blog post ideas, larger visioning ideas, to-do items that aren't for me, so they're for somebody else. And maybe they aren't urgent, you know what I mean? So I just end up being the one who tracks that stuff really just for myself, for some of these other jobs, you know? So like when I work at the gallery, no one's looking to me for, oh, what do we need to do? But I've been trying to track some of that information of the things that come up so that when there is a downtime, I will look at this list and be like, well, here's some other projects we've been wanting to do, so why don't we tackle some of those? And I, those things end up being lots of little different pieces of paper for me, and I have all those little types of things for four different clients. And that magnifies onto lots of piles of paper that I don't want them just in folders because there's so many different categories of information to get from those notes. So I more want to put the information where it belongs. And then I can actually just get rid of the paper. You know, I don't even need the paper, but I'm so afraid to let go of the paper that I'm going to lose something.
Right. Right. So are the, so you mentioned like to-dos, both that you're doing or maybe that someone else is doing. Say blog posts,
right.
Ideas, vision ideas, projects to varying degrees of, like this is a project that needs to happen versus a maybe this could happen or
right.
An idea for, you know, future discussion kind of thing.
Right.
Are those pretty much, are those the same categories that you would use for each of the four clients?
Those are the types of things that seem to come up. I think they will mostly fit in those categories.
Okay. So, let's see. So, okay, so just thinking out loud here. So you've got, so the only thing that is a little bit confusing here is that you've got specific to-dos and you've got more referenced info. The to-dos that are assigned to you or to someone else need specific tracking that, like I always recommend that go in the to-do manager of some sort, which we'll be talking about on Tuesday.
Great.
But the other thing, anything that has ideas tacked onto the back, inspirations,
right.
Examples, research, ideas, all that kind of stuff. Possible idea, projects and that kind of thing. I'm glad that the idea of the mind map came up because, I'm actually seeing a mind map for these. And unfortunately, people listening to this later are not going to be able to see this. But I'm going into my mind mapping software program, my online program. It's an online program, which means that it is cross-platform. Give me a sec to pull it up. And you could hack your to-do manager to track this as well. So I do want to say that. Let's see, let's go. the way. Because basically what you're looking at is a series of lists. So we'll look at two different options here. I get signed in.
Okay, great.
So I love the mind map. Okay, so say we have a new mind map here. I'm just going to do a generic, nothing customized about this. This is just a basic one. So say here we've got in the middle of the mind map is going to be client number one. So you could have the next round, the next basically hierarchy, so to speak. Hierarchy is not the right word.
Yeah.
The next level of info would be your broad categories, so say blog post ideas, and then say visioning ideas. And this is where you're looking for your patterns. You already have by coming up with blog post ideas, visioning ideas, but you know, you could take this in a different direction too. And you could use projects. And then, like I said, I would put your to-dos in your to-do manager. And then,
right. Let's
see, what else? So then, some of the things that you can do, so say we have projects here, and we have project one, you can, so here, over here, you've got these options here. So notes, you can say, we talked about this on 9:30, and it would be a really great idea if blah, blah, blah. So here you can put in, you know, whatever notes that gave you enough context to understand why you put it here. Links, you can attach the URL. File, you can add an attachment. So if you scanned say you had some kind of visual idea. Oh yeah, you know, like some of the sketches that you sent me. You know, you had like a visual idea for it. You can scan it and you can attach it here. And then under tasks, you can have priority. So, you know, as we'll talk about, it's best to know what does priority one mean versus what does priority seven mean. But you could come up with just kind of a general thing. Like priority seven is like someday, rainy day, you know, blah, 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 or priority one, I really want to keep working with this client and keep encouraging them in this direction versus priority four, you know, come up with your own schema for what these mean and, you know, the conversation. I don't really do the 25% done, 50% done, 75% done, but having it not started does give you a checkbox. Aha, which is very fun.
Cool.
You can add a due date, and you can assign someone to it if you have shared this mind map with them. So here's the other thing, is that you could share this mind map with the client. And so this isn't probably somewhere that they would come and hang out, but you could say, I've been having a bunch of different visioning ideas for your, you know, for your project. And you could come in here and you could walk them through it based on this. Or you could say, okay, I came up with five things. Let's prioritize them. And that is actually where the priority would come into. Let's give it a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we're going to start with 1, and then we'll go to 2, and then we'll go blah, blah, blah. So you could do that as well. And let's see what else. So I love these things. And I think that you can... When you can share it, see if you can copy it. So say if you had this. Duplicate. So you could duplicate the whole thing. You could set up your main structure and then duplicate it per client. And with MindMeister, it is a free program for up to 2 or 3 or 5 mind maps.
Okay.
And I actually have a tutorial for getting started with MindMeister already created.
Great.
And so I know that we've talked briefly about information being scattered around. So like, for example, in our work together, we have information that we reference in Dropbox, in Google Drive. In this case, it would also be MindMeister. And honestly, I think that's just fine. As long as there is, you know, as I said on Tuesday, that there's consistency. There's consistency in what is kept where. And your to-dos are in your to-do manager. And we're in Trello, you know, and the projects that we're working on is sort of the bigger picture dashboard of what is on our plate. MindMeister is more your ideas for your own tracking to glean that information from your notes where it's not lost. You know, as long as it's consistent, and I realize that the one that is a little bit more challenging to define the difference between is the Google Drive and the Dropbox. So I look forward to having a more clear definition of what are we creating for Dropbox and what do we create in Google Drive.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like. Let me go. Okay. What I feel like a good difference between them is I always think of Dropbox as something that I've created that someone else needs access to, and I'm sharing it with them. And even though I know they could change it, that's not the intention, you know? So, like, you. Dropbox logo information to me for the natural professional. I'm not going to change that. I was referencing that material so you didn't have to duplicate it somewhere else. Whereas Google Docs, I really think of as there might be five different people trying to build a document, you know, so that you can edit it or you keep adding information or like, yeah, I thought about this or I found this link. And that everyone can be adding it to one document, so you're literally all on the same page, you know? So I think of it as much more collaborative.
Yeah. Yeah, well put. Great. I'll take it. Nice. Google Drive and Box. Taking notes for our show notes. Okay. So what, so having seen the Mind software, and so then let's see, what are the other options? So coming back to say blog, so for example, the blog post ideas, visioning ideas, say research on various things, and that type of thing. Other options would be to hack your to-do manager, which would be, instead of having a to-do item, the item would be called basically the list name, for example, blog post ideas. And then in the notes section, you could put down each of those one at a time.
Right.
So just kind of thinking out, going back to the mind map, one of the things we also talked about was, so say we have blog post ideas, the blog idea one, blog idea two. You can add notes, links, and files on a per item basis.
Okay.
If it was in your a simple list, you wouldn't have that functionality.
Okay.
The other possibility would be, say, in a Google Doc, and you could have a document called, you know, you could have a folder for each client, and then within that folder have a document called blog post ideas, and then you put down each idea, and then there you could include additional images, links, and that kind of thing. And then that would be in, obviously, a document format, which would, you know, could get to be 4 or 5 pages long. So if you like seeing information that way, that would work. My preference, okay, again, is the mind map because I can see everything at once. And I can collapse. Right. So here if I have blog idea 3, I can collapse that level, and so I'm only looking at my main levels. And then I could say, actually, I want to see all of it. I want to see all of the sub levels, and I can keep doing that. And you can just, I mean, you can keep going out. I mean, if you don't really want to. I don't know, mind maps are so awesome for taking in a lot of information visually very quickly.
Yes, that's great. And I think that's where I get hung up a lot with prioritizing. So I am really good at starting lots of things, but then I can get sidetracked into doing something like archiving all of my blog posts, you know, which is not a priority. And if I'm looking at a mind map, I can see the whole picture of like, oh, this is one little tiny thing that I can do, you know, but I have to keep my eye on the larger priority of what is the high priority work I should be doing, not just archiving these things, you know. So I like the mind map idea a lot.
I think they're awesome.
Great. Well, do you want to put up a link for other people to MindMeister so that they can see what we've been talking about?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
So when I send this out, there will be a link to a page on the website. It will include the audio and a link to MindMeister, and it'll have a few bullet points of the subjects that we talked about.
Neat.
So let's go back one sec to the files and folders. So we talked about indexing an archive, and I said this is similar to the situation that someone might have if they've got a humongous list of files and folders on their hard drive, and do they have to organize all of that in order to go forward? And I would say no.
Yeah.
That's just not something that we really have the time for these days, especially in the context that probably like maybe 10% of that is ever really going to get looked at again. So
right.
One strategy for dealing for going forward is to set up your file structure as you want it, right? So just fresh and move into the correct place the items that you use. And you can pull in, you know, a few things that you know you use, and then just over the next month, when you go in to actually use something, be like, oh, this isn't my old structure. It is something I use. So pull it into your new structure and go forward with it. And after a month of doing that, and maybe even 2 months, you know, however long you want to give it, your new structure will pretty much contain the majority of your active files. And then at some point, you can either do a bulk archive of that other stuff and throw it onto a thumb drive or something, so you're not deleting it, but you're getting it out of your way and off of your hard drive. And if you think of something else, like, oh, I forgot that I need this thing once a year and it hadn't come up during that time, then you can just stick in that thumb drive, get it, pull it into your new structure, and move forward from there. And the a recommended strategy for creating your file structure I did a paper, the Filing e-course covered that in the hard copy version, and it's not all that different for your digital version. You've got your main subject, and I put up the in the notes from last in the slide deck. There is a slide that has the images of my two screenshots for my Dropbox folder hierarchy, as well as my hard drive file hierarchy, and that shows. There are main subjects, and there's like don't know, 7 of those, more or less. They're very broad. And then within that, there are some more, there's some more subjects. And then within that, pretty much, you know, there might be another layer, but at that point, you're pretty much getting into files. And so then it's just, how are you naming your files so that you're finding what you need? And I actually just saw something. It was very, very cool. It was an infographic on tags, and we'll talk about tags on Tuesday. But one of the things they point that they, one of the things that they pointed out was that we're shifting how we look for information. And instead of this, you know, very complicated hierarchy of information, we're going more on tags. And so what you need is a good searching functionality, a good searching feature right. on your computer, rather than this, you know, very detailed delineation of what all of these different subjects are. So that is another possibility that, again, if that's not something that you've been doing, have it, and that you would be adding tags to your files, which are basically, but basically, you know, the using the search feature.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you can do with the files and the folders, and hopefully that was clear. And if not, then we can talk about it more. Jeff, any other questions?
I know it's all Kathy. Sorry. So I do have one other question.
Yeah.
So my last question is one that for some reason I have a huge hang up on. When you did the example of the systems approach for bill paying, which is, as you said, we know this is something that happens every month. And I have a half system in place that's not effective. So I'm excited for next week when you said you're going to relate it back to, like, when we actually pay the bills. But I do, most of my bills relate to my business. And for my business bills, I did commit several years back to getting paper bills. They're easier for me to process with my QuickBooks.
Sorry, and you committed to doing what?
To getting paper bills.
Oh, paper bills.
Rather than digitally. So okay. I committed to that system of getting paper, and I do open them. My hang up is where to keep the bills and when to pay them, because I know what to do as soon as it's time to pay the bill. I have a total system in place for then how that gets into QuickBooks. But it's you said something that was great, that the spot where I keep them should relate to where I actually pay them. And I do online bill pay. And I prefer to do all of the bills all at once, you know, if possible. But they do all have different deadlines. So I just feel very confused around this bill paying thing. It should be so easy, you know, but it stresses me out, and I usually leave them on my kitchen counter because I'm so afraid of forgetting to pay them on time. So I don't know. I don't know if you have suggestions more about, like, how you figure out, because more what I'm trying to get at, so I'm not trying to get you to solve the problem. I'm trying to get at how you figure out where is the right place to put something.
So let's see. If and how are you deciding now when you pay them?
I usually decide
at the moment that I look at the bill pile and I have a heart attack and go, oh my God, I think I'm supposed to have already paid those.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not good. And I usually do have an alert. I have one alert on my phone that is to remind me to pay rent. And when that alert goes off, if I haven't also paid my bills, I know it's too late. You know, like I'm going to incur late fees. And that doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen, I would say, 3 to 4 times a year. And that's, you know, that can add up to $40 or $50 in late fees, which is a huge amount of money for me as a, you know, small entrepreneur. So that's the
thing. Have you tried doing something like you pay them on the 1st and the 15th?
No.
Or like
I haven't tried
first,
that.
First and third Thursday of the month type of thing? Have you tried that?
No. Okay.
Does that seem, so since you're working with scheduling, since we're going to be talking more about scheduling things, and one of the things that we'll be talking about next week is going to be recurring items, and this is one of them. Bill paying is a recurring one.
Yes.
And tying that in with the, like you can tie that in with your calendar or your, where it's a recurring event in your to-do manager, that it comes up every 2 weeks or once a month kind of thing. Or it could go as a recurring all-day event in your calendar.
Okay.
On, say, the first and third Thursday of the month or the first and the 15th. Or why I like the first and the third 15th, I mean, first and third Thursday, for example, is that that's going to fall on a work day, and you can plot those on days where you say, okay, this day of the week, I'm reserving like a couple hours for my own business admin maintenance kind of stuff, like creating invoices and, you know, paying bills and ordering supplies and just all those like things that just kind of always have to happen.
Right, right.
And then as far as location, do you normally, does your laptop normally live in different places, or does it do you normally work on it in one place generally? Like if it, are you could you be anywhere in the house when you're paying bills, or are you normally
in one
place?
I could be anywhere in the house. So I have 3 different desk locations that I move my laptop to. But the 3rd floor in my studio is, I always need to take the paid bills there because that is where my filing system is for QuickBooks entry. So, yeah.
Then I would put your online bills. I mean, I would put your bills to be paid there. And it could be understanding that the whole out of sight, out of mind thing can get kind of scary, especially for paid bills. Like, make some kind of cool something, you know, like make a little thing that hangs on the wall or something. And so you can see them there. They're not gone. Although your trigger is going to be this first and 15th, or this first and third Thursday of the month. And that is where you will go, you know, and then just, you know, commit at that point, commit to paying your bills on the 3rd floor, where it happens to be next to the QuickBooks and all that kind of thing. And so it's sort of like a station, a bill pay station, where you can complete most of the cycle in that one spot.
Right.
Were there any other parts to that one?
The other part to it that is actually helpful is I treat checks to deposit the same way. And those have... Yeah. I think those would work in the same location, you know, because I always have to process the checks to deposit through QuickBooks before I actually go to the bank. And so if I had a spot where they could both live, that would be great. And, yeah, I'm excited. This whole concept that you just presented, too, of setting aside business administration time got me very, very excited.
because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never set aside business administration time. So yeah. So
and it's fixed time. Well, yeah. And then what came up, knowing that you're creative and will likely come up with a very cool little, you know, box for your bills to pay, you could have an external clip on that you put the checks on.
Great.
So it's like all financial, in and out, same place, same station. I would think those, you would be processing those on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I definitely do. Those don't ever get forgotten.
I know, right? Yeah. And then, you've got your system with it. Endorse the bag, right. Enter it in QuickBooks, put it in the wallet. And so you just know, based on where that check is, you know where it is in the process.
Exactly, yeah. So I've never had an issue with that one. It's more the bills paying. So, so that's great. Cool. Well, those are all my questions. So, yay.
Well, that was perfect timing, and thank you for those questions. They were great. Great questions.
Well, thank
really great
you
questions.
For being here. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And if you're listening to this outside of the call, then catch you on the flip side, I guess. Okay. So signing off from our first open office and Q&A call, and until the next time. Bye.
Bye.